So today, our theme for the sermon is the battle of the spirit and of the flesh. The battle of the spirit and of the flesh. And our key verse is coming from Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Can we read together on the screen? For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So in essence, we see clearly here that our very nature presents a battle in our journey of faith. And this battle in the journey of faith is that our flesh is pushing to do one thing and our spirit is pushing to do one thing. But this comes as a sub-theme with the idea of looking at the book of Galatians. So quickly, we want to do a review of the book of Galatians before we move on. God is good. So the book of Galatians, how many chapters is in the book of Galatians? Six chapters in the book of Galatians. I want to encourage you, beloved. I want to encourage you, read your Bible. Read your Bible. It's not normal that you're a Christian and you don't read your Bible. Don't think it makes you cool. It doesn't make you cool. It's very sad. So please be encouraged. Read your Bible. One of the greatest battles we've had is to get accustomed to God's Word. From the beginning of time till date, read your Bible. Turn to someone, tell the person, read your Bible. First ask the person, where is your Bible? Ask the person, where is your Bible? Because some of you don't even know where your Bible is. But read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. The best way to live in a life to the glory of God is through giving yourself to His Word and to the study of His Word. Amen. In essence of doing a review of the book of Galatians, I want to highlight that we have six chapters, and these six chapters are broken into three parts. So the first part, that is chapter 1 to chapter 2, speaks of the defense of the gospel. And the book of Galatians was written by who? Brother Paul, exactly. To the people living in Galatia, yes. So in chapter 1, Paul says he is writing to the churches in Galatia. And in essence, in chapter 1, he gives an exhortation of how he himself came to be saved and the importance of the gospel. That the gospel has the efficacy to change man from darkness to light. That the gospel is the only way that a person can be transformed. There is no way that we can be transformed save we are given to the gospel. So in essence, speaking for the defense of the gospel, he reiterates that only Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. What did I say? Jesus is the... There is no way to the Father except through Jesus. And he says, the law cannot save. The idea of don't do this, don't do that will only hurt you the more. The real salvation comes from the idea of that you have died in Christ and that the life you are living now, you'll live by faith in Him. So the beauty of our salvation, the beauty of the gospel is that it gives us the impetus, it gives us the strength, it gives us the power to live the regenerated life of Christ Jesus. Amen. And in highlighting a good summary of a verse, I chose Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is by faith that we are saved and not by works. Amen. Turn to someone, tell the person, you are not saved because you are handsome. Turn to someone, tell the person, you are not saved because of your long hair. You are saved. you are saved because of faith in Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is what has mounted salvation for you and I. And for us to walk in that salvation, we ought to continue to live by faith. And in essence, we see the second division is from chapters 3 and chapter 4. And Paul touched on doctrines, the idea of salvation, and why everyone is welcome to be saved. Salvation is not meant for a few, neither does it resonate better with a few. Salvation is made for everybody. Whether you are from Africa, whether you are from South America, whether you are from Asia, whether you are from a rich family, whether you are from a poor family, whether you are Hebrew, whether you are Greek, whether you are Jew, salvation is meant for you. Because the only way that you can be saved is by the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Your money cannot save you. Your father's prayers cannot save you. The fact that you were born into a Christian home cannot save you. The fact that you have a well-paying job cannot save you. The fact that you come from a well-living country cannot save you. We are only saved by Jesus and by Jesus alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you have any iota of fear, knowing the condemnation that awaits at the end, you will be glorifying his name, knowing that he has saved you from wrath. And not only would you glorify his name, but you will go around with a banner saying Jesus is the way to your friends, to your colleagues at work, to your children. Don't desire to teach your children finance. Desire to teach them the word of God. Let the word of God resonate through every aspect of your life, that when people see you, they see Jesus. Amen. Galatians chapter 3 verse 28, he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. Our salvation in Christ Jesus is not segmented or fragmented. We are one in Christ. The same salvation available to the early church is still available to us now. Amen. The third division is from chapters 5 and 6. And here he talks about the practicality of our walk. That beyond the place of accepting and declaring, believing and confessing, we need to understand that there is a life that is supposed to be lived. It's not just enough to say, I am a Christian. There needs to be signs of salvation. So Philippians chapter 1 says, there have to be fruits of righteousness. There must be signs that you are saved. There must be signs that you have met Jesus. Remember what is written about the apostles, the disciples. He says, where did they learn to talk like that? Where did they learn to speak like that? Oh, they must have been with Jesus. If indeed you have encountered Jesus, something different will happen to you. In the business world, something different will be with you. In your classroom, something different. You cannot meet Jesus and still be the same. Mimbailama? You cannot meet Jesus and remain the same. You cannot encounter the Lord of life and remain dead. You can come as you are, but you can't stay as you are. You can come as you are, but you can't stay as you are. And in that essence, we see clearly here, from Galatians chapter 5 verse 25, he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Our salvation brought about the rejuvenation of our spirit, the regeneration of our spirit. And because of that, our spirit is no longer dead, but is alive through Christ Jesus. And we are called to live spiritually, not physically. In essence, our lives must be led by the Spirit of God, even as Romans chapter 8 says, for as many of you as are sons of the Lord, you ought to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. And here, Paul is saying to the people of Galatians, once you are saved, continue to walk in the Spirit. We'll delve deeper into that later. So throughout the book of Galatians, and I want to give you an assignment. It's just six chapters. It's just six chapters. Monday, read one chapter. Tuesday, read one chapter. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You'll be done with six chapters. So read the six chapters this week. And I want to encourage you, make notes. You know, make notes. Make notes from all that you read. Make notes from all that you read. And if you have questions, free to send me a mail. Send me a mail. Let's talk. If you want to invite me to your home, you can invite me. We'll talk over chicken. It's going to be fun. But I'm encouraging you, read. Read. Don't just listen, go home and forget about it. Read. Amen. So when you read, you see that the delivery of the book of Galatians is very vigorous. Paul is very direct. In fact, this is one of the most direct books you can find in the Bible. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 1, Paul says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Are you so foolish that now you think that your works can save you after you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb?" He's so direct, he's so brutal, because the salvation of people is at hand. He is blunt, he's direct, and he's brief. Direct. Sometimes it's good to be brief. Don't talk too much. If you are sitting beside someone, tell the person, don't talk too much. Sometimes, learn to say what you want to say in a short while. You know, you want to say, "I'm hungry." Don't go and stand there and say, "From the beginning of time, my eyes have longed for bread." No. Just be very direct. Just be very direct. If you don't like something, say it. If you want something, say it. No. Amen. And the theme of the book is with reference to justification that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. That the only way we can be justified in God is if we stand in Christ Jesus and not by the works of the law. Your works cannot save you. Your works cannot save you. Only Jesus can save you. And as I read through, the key verse for me was from Galatians chapter 2 verse 16. And I read, "Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified." Our only way of salvation is by believing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And Christ in Galatians, in essence, as I read through the whole book, one thing I came up with is that Jesus is the source and power of a believer. A believer's new life and access to the promises of God. That the source and power of a believer's new life is Jesus. And through Jesus, we have access to the promises of God. Amen. How many of you think this is a good summary of the book of Galatians? Good summary, Ma. Is there a good summary? Good. But I bet you can come up with a better summary if you read it yourself. And I'm encouraging you, please read. Please read, make notes, and if you have any questions, you can come and let's talk about it. So last Sunday, Brother Rob preached, and when Brother Rob preached, he highlighted the idea of fruitful living in difficult times. Fruitful living in difficult times. And when he highlighted that, his anchor scripture was from Galatians 5, 22 to 24. But before that, he highlighted why we are in difficult times and why we are in the end times. Reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 to 9. He said, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people." And he continues. And he says, "These are the marks that will mark people within the end times. And we are already seeing them. They are people who are lovers of money. They will do everything for money. They will do everything. If they were even allowed to, they will kill people for money. There are people who have no sense of dignity, honor for the Lord. Everything is about their pride. They respect nobody. They talk to their parents anyhow. May the Lord have mercy on that. And he gave the solution to this, that as believers, if we want to not be found within those 21 items listed in 2 Timothy 3:1-9, he says, we ought to live out Galatians 5:25. He said, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And once we do that, we will bear counter fruits to the fruit of this world. And where can that fruit be found? Galatians 5:22-24. And I read, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions. And so in essence, if you want to live a called out life, if we want to live a holy life, we must desire to bear forth the fruit of the Spirit. But today we are going to take it a step further. This is more of what lies above. But now we are going to look at what lies beneath. Why do we live a certain way, even when we don't want to live that way? The reality is, majority of people who live in a negative way don't want to live in that negative way. Actually, they want to live to the glory of God. But there is a battle going on. And this battle can be linked to the roots. Because if you want to bear fruit, we must first check your roots. I'm going to say that again. If you want to bear fruit, we must first check your roots. Where are you rooted? Where are you rooted? Where are you rooted? I heard someone saying bars. Where are you rooted? Are you rooted in the Spirit or in the flesh? Because Paul says, if you are born of the Spirit, yea, walk in the Spirit. But yet people are still rooted in the flesh. The reality is, where you are rooted determines how you live. There are many of us who are born again, but our lives don't depict people who are born again. Because the patterns of our life depict people of the world. The behavior we exhibit depicts people of the world. The way we think, the emotions we display depict people of the world. How we treat people. How do we handle anger? How do we handle our debtors? How do we treat our spouses? How do we raise our children? It's not enough saying you are a Christian. Your life must show forth that you are a Christian. And for your life to show forth that you are a Christian, you must overcome the battle of the flesh and the spirit. Let us read Galatians 5:16-21. Galatians 5:16-21. Let us read together. Is it on the screen? Great. So, the battle of the Spirit and the flesh. And I read, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So it means that your flesh has its own desires. Remember, there are three dimensions to our salvation. When you receive Jesus Christ, your spirit is instantly saved. For you are a new creation. The old is gone. Instantly, your spirit is changed. Then, your soul is progressively renewed. Romans 12:1-2. It says, renew your mind by the word of God, so that you may know the will of God. The idea of your soul being saved comes from a process of learning, where you give yourself unto the word, and the word changes your mind, your will, and your emotions. But then, your flesh will only be saved at the appearance of Jesus Christ. So 1 John says, we do not know how we will become. But this we know, that when Christ appears, we will look like him. We will only be given a new body, 1 Corinthians 15, at the resurrection. So it means the desires of the flesh will continue to amount. No matter how long you have been a Christian, your flesh will still fight you in the sense of doing the things the Lord has called you to do. You are born again, but your hormones are not born again. That is why, do not be so proud. Don't put yourself in a position where you can fall. Our brother Joseph, when Potiphar's wife attempted to lie with him, what did he do? What did he do?
He flew.
Hey. He fled. Someone say he fled. He never flew. He fled. He fled. He ran very fast. He didn't try to tolerate it. He didn't try to say, let me manage it. You cannot manage sin. Turn to someone, tell your neighbor, you can't manage sin. Shake your neighbor by the shoulder. Tell your neighbor, you can't manage sin. Run away. Flee. If there is this guy that is trying to look smart and trying to get you to do certain things, run away. Block him. Delete his WeChat. If there is this, and you know, they are married men. There are women now that their desire is for married men. They are women, and their heart desire is to find a married man so that they cause the married man to fall. You need to identify sin and run away from sin. Why is she always waiting for you after you close? Identify sin and run away from sin. The flesh will remain the flesh until you are given a resurrected body. So Paul said, after preaching, I make sure to put myself under self-control so that I do not become an outcast to the very things I've preached. Self-control is the remedy. And we have a lot of young men who are busy doing a lot of bad things. A lot of bad things. Young men who are seeking young women to do all sorts of things to them. And they say, when I get married, I will change. Who told you? Who told you when you get married, you will change? Before I got married, I said, when I get married, I'll exercise. You need to understand this, that if you do not desire to change now, marriage will not change you. Marriage has never changed anybody. Self-control changes. Yes, the baby is even re-echoing what I'm saying. Be intentional about living a life that glorifies God. So he says, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh if you walk by the Spirit. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. The flesh always wants you to do something that does not glorify God. The flesh always desires that you do things that don't glorify God. And you need to desire to live by the Spirit. Let the Spirit be your guide. Let the Spirit be your guide. There are times you want to pray, but the flesh is telling you, sleep. 30 minutes, just 30 minutes more. Sleep. I have been praying. Every single day, I try to pray either 12 midnight or 4 a.m. And I've been doing that since 2005. And there is no single day I wake up and it's easy. There's no single day I wake up and my flesh is like, oh, today I'm eager to pray. No. Every single day my flesh is fighting against me. This dawn, my wife saw me sitting on the bed because I wanted to get up. And she said, you can do it. Your flesh will always try to push you to do things that don't glorify God. And you have to desire to fight it and overcome it. It goes on to say, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, nor the works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. And what are they? Let's mention them together. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I want you to understand this. If you leave yourself to the flesh will destroy you. The flesh will destroy you, and it will not only destroy you, it will destroy everybody who is around you. And you will say, oh, nobody sees what I'm doing. You will say, nobody sees what I'm doing. But when the results come out, everybody will see it. You say, oh, what I'm doing, it's just me alone. I was counseling someone who was dealing with masturbation. And she said the reason she fell into addiction to masturbation was because she accepted that masturbation doesn't hurt anybody. It only hurts herself. So she was willing to kill herself just to gratify the flesh. Now she's married with 3 kids. And she's still masturbating. Not having time for her kids. Not having time for her husband. Not feeling satisfied by her husband. Stop it now before it kills you. Stop it now before it kills you. Nobody may see it, but God sees it. What is in your heart? Are you jealous of someone? Are you envious of someone? Drunkenness. Under your bed, we can see 16 bottles, Jack Daniels. Give me some of the drinks. What are they? Degba, give me some. Degba said, under your bed, we have Jack Daniels. We have appetition. You know, we need to understand that you may not feel it now, but when your kidney starts failing, you will know that you were wrong. You will not feel it now, but when your life is failing because of health, have you not read that you will reap what you sow? Then it goes on to say, I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, again, the goal is not just about getting to heaven. There are rewards to be given. How are you raising your children? How are you treating your wife? How is your service in the house of the Lord? There are rewards to be earned. You may enter heaven, but you may know that you have no reward. Revelation chapter 12 says, "Behold, I come quickly. Take heed so that nobody takes your crown." How can someone take your crown? Because the crown was meant for you. Because of a purpose, a working God had established for you. But because you didn't do it and you gave yourself over to the flesh, the Lord raised someone else to do it. And when you stand before the Father, you would know that this crown was meant for me. But because I lacked self-control, I have lost my crown. May the Lord help us. So this is the battle of the spirit and the flesh. But in understanding, we need to know that this battle is what leads to the fruit. So we saw the fruit of the spirit, and we now see the fruit of the flesh. But the gateway to how one person manifests this fruit is in the mind. The mind is the battleground of the flesh and the spirit. Let's read. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the spirit set their minds on things of the spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot." The mind. What do you think about? What do you allow yourself to think about? The gateway to demonic oppression, the gateway to demonic influence can be summed up in three patterns. One, the idea of your nature. Because if your nature is not born again of Christ, Ephesians says you are under the rule of the prince of this world. Two, the idea of cycles, altars, and lineage. In essence, what cycle, what trend has been started in your family or your bloodline? And the idea to overcome this essence of influence is by knowledge and by understanding that you have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Meaning you are not tied to your family line. You have a new inheritance. The third window for demonic oppression is lies and thoughts. What lie have you believed in? What is the thought that is running through your mind? Have you realized that every sin begins with a thought? Why don't you steal? Why don't you do this? And the devil does not come speaking with a scary voice. Ooh, let's go and drink. Ooh, sometimes he comes in a very subtle voice. Today is a good Friday. Let's go and just take two cups. Let's go and take two shots. Two shots never destroyed anybody. Sometimes you're about to close from work and the devil is whispering, "Just pass by the bar." What I want you to understand is this. Until you learn how to control your thoughts, you will still be opened to the influence of the devil. Learn how to control your thoughts. And how do we do that? 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Whatever thought that comes to mind, hold it captive. Don't be idle. Turn to someone, tell the person, don't be idle. Then you are just there, you don't know what to do. And a silly thought comes to your mind. Don't be idle. Give yourself unto the thought of God's word. What do you think when you think of other people? Be careful how you think about other people. Because above all you might be saying about them, what matters most is what is in your heart. And the reality is, it's going to be in your heart, and soon it's going to start coming out, showing in your actions. That's why it's very important. Guard your thoughts. Safeguard your mind. Guard your thoughts. Safeguard your mind. Don't allow just anything to come into your mind. Be intentional about engaging your mind. Be careful of what you watch. Be careful of the conversations you have. Be careful of what you are reminded of. I was preaching in Wuhan, and they told me to talk about this scripture in Corinthians that says that, do you not know that he who lays with a harlot is one with the harlot? They wanted me to explain what it means. And I told them that in essence, when you lay with someone who is not your husband or your wife, what happens is your soul takes a part of their soul. And the reality is that the soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. So the idea of memory becomes ingrained with what you did with the other person. And the more people you engage in before you get married, the more distorted your soul will become. So in essence, I was telling them that you need to be careful. The best way to prepare for a godly marriage is purity. The best way to prepare for a godly marriage is keeping yourself clean. Because one gateway that the devil will cause people to relapse into these kind of sexual sins is to remind them. That is why you have to pray and let the word of God fill your mind. So again, I want to really emphasize that the battleground for the spirit and the flesh is your mind. Be intentional about what you think about. Don't feed your flesh. Feed your spirit. How can we feed our spirit? We can feed our spirit by keeping in step with the spirit. How do we keep in step with the spirit? The first point, read God's word. Meditate, pray, and fasting. Fasting. One of the recent arguments I had with my wife was the fact that she was complaining that my eating habit is very bad. My eating habit is very bad. And I told them, darling, I love to live a fasted life. I want to fast. Because I know what it means when I give my flesh power. So I desire to fast. Fasting does not change God. Fasting changes you. And the basic of fasting is avoiding food. But you can also fast away from your phone. You can fast away from the internet. Some of you need to fast away from social media. Not even a fast. You need to abolish social media from your life. TikTok. You need to, because there is nothing sensible you are learning from there. The only thing you are learning from there is to go and dance. And you see people, instead of spending time in the Word, you see them standing in the mirror. Give yourself unto God's Word. Read God's Word. What does it mean to meditate on God's Word? Let it be in your mind. Let the Word of God reign in your mind. And pray. You need to pray. 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 Learn to pray on your own. Don't only pray in church. Pray on your own. Pray at dawn. Pray in the morning. Pray in the evening. Pray in the bathroom. Pray. Desire and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Desire the fruit of the Spirit. You know yourself which aspect of your life you need to check. Read through the fruit of the Spirit and desire to manifest. Desire to express the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control. Patience. Long-suffering. 1 John 4:1. It says, test the Spirit. Test. Again, I say this. Not every advice is from the Lord. Not every information is good information. Not every Christian is a good Christian. Be careful what you open your ears to and what you open your heart to. Test the Spirit. What this person is saying, is it from the Lord? Because there are many false prophets. There are many liars within the kingdom of God. They may come and say, this is of the Lord, but it's not of the Lord. Oh, there is nothing. Recently I heard the pastor saying, there is nothing wrong with fornication. But I tell you here and now, if you fornicate, you will destroy your life. You will not only destroy your life, you will destroy your future. You will destroy your family. There are some people who say adultery is not a sin anymore. I tell you, husbands, I tell you, wives, if you commit adultery, the Lord will punish you. The Lord will deal with you. The Lord will cause you to understand that He is just. Not only at the end of life, but in this life and in the next. The wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life. Sin will only kill you. Let us go back to the days where we held on to the truth and not sugarcoat things. Be intentional about your community. Show me your friend and I'll show you my character. Choose your friends carefully. Choose your friends carefully. What has darkness got to do with light? Choose your friends carefully. And finally, don't quench the Spirit. How do we quench the Spirit? A life of sin. Repent from sin. Repent from sin. Sin will quench the Spirit. Disobedience will quench the Spirit. Lack of fellowship will quench the spirit. I conclude with this verse, as read earlier. Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's stand to our feet. And you want to pray, and you want to ask the Lord, Father, help me. Grant me grace to walk in the Spirit. We know we are weak. And the truth is, we know that what we are doing is wrong. Father, grant us grace. You want to pray? Ask the Lord for grace. Say, Father, grant me grace. In my weakness, that is when I am strong. You want to pray? Pray, ask the Lord, Father, grant me grace for this journey. Grant me grace for this journey. Grant me grace for this journey. Grant me grace. Grant me grace for this journey. If you know your flesh, with every eye, if you know your flesh is causing you problems, I want you to put your hand on your heart even as I pray for you. Just put your hand on your heart. You don't need to come forward. Just put your hand on your heart and I'm going to pray for you. You know you are struggling with your flesh. Father, behold your children. They come before you asking for grace. Father, I pray for every single person whose hand is on their chest. Father, touch their hearts. I pray your goodness over them. I pray your mercy over them. I pray your love over them. Father, may your Spirit touch them. May your grace overflow over them. And tonight, I rebuke every spirit of the flesh. Any addiction is broken in Jesus' name. I rebuke every practice of sin. And I break it in Jesus' mighty name. I break every sort of demonic influence. Under the sound of my voice, I declare that the hand of the Lord touch you in Jesus' name. May today mark the turnaround. May every shackle be broken. May every chain be broken. May the Lord help you. And I pray that your heart will be stirred up unto His word. May the Lord cause you to go deeper in His word and cause you to fellowship in His word for the breaking of every stronghold in Jesus' mighty name. Let's receive the benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may the grace of our Father that is poured down from His throne of mercy, may that grace be your portion. May the Lord have mercy on us. May the Lord show you mercy. May the Lord show you mercy. May the Lord show you mercy. Even as Jesus prayed for Simon, He said, Simon, Simon, The devil has sought to sift you like wheat. Today I pray for you. Although the devil seeks you, he will not find you. Although the devil seeks to destroy your marriage, he will not find you. Although the devil seeks to destroy your children, he will not find them. The Lord will protect you. The Lord will guide you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.